How about this? Let's close our eyes and then just tell the Lord, Lord Jesus, we love you. Amen. Lord Jesus, we love you. How about sisters? Say, Lord Jesus, I love you.
Lord Jesus, I love you.
Brothers.
Lord Jesus, I love you.
Amen. Lord Jesus, we love you.
Amen.
Thank you, you can be here.
Amen.
Aren't you happy to be here this weekend?
Amen.
Have you received dispensing of the triune God into your being a little bit more this weekend? If the answer is yes, say allow amen.
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 Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So we come to, this morning we come to message 4. And the title of this message, let's read it together. The Spirit with our Spirit. Brothers and sisters, this message, if you look at the entire Bible, Romans chapter 5 through 8 is considered the kernel of the Bible. And actually, I brought some pistachio nuts. I don't know how many of you like pistachio, but I love it. It's one of my favorite nuts. But as you can see, a pistachio has a shell, a hard shell over it, right? You have to crack it open, take it open, and get to the kernel. So this is the kernel. In this example, this is the kernel of the pistachio. This is the most enjoyable part, the most edible part, and the most nutritious part. So what we are getting into right now in this message is the most nutritious part, the most edible part, and the most enjoyable part of this thing. If you say that out of this kernel, in chapter 8 of Romans, is considered like the shining of the diamond. It is the best part, the diamond and the shining of the diamond. This is Romans 8. So I'd like to start this message by asking the question. Can any of you guess what question I may ask you? Very good. All right, that means that you've been paying attention. That's very good. All right, so where are you? Where are you this morning? Are you in your spirit? Praise the Lord. Who said that? Praise the Lord. Okay. Wow, serving one. Well, you may say that we're here at Camp Skycroft, which is not a wrong answer. We are physically here. But praise the Lord, we are here under the dispensing of the triune God.
Amen.
We're hearing his speaking, right? But actually, I want to read a couple of verses to you to show you, actually, in reality, we are in a different place, in a different realm, right? So Romans 6:3 says, "Or are you ignorant that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death?" So the words here are been baptized into Christ Jesus. And then another verse, Galatians 3:27 says, For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So these two verses show us that we are in a different position. This morning, even though physically we are here, but in reality, we are in Christ. We have been baptized into Christ.
Amen.
We are in Christ. So, positionally, we are in Christ. Let me ask you, how about your experience? Right now, where are you right now? Are you in your mind or are you in your spirit? Right, this is a question we've been asking this whole weekend. Where are you? The experience of Christ in the book of Romans, right? That's the title of this conference. Where are you? Well, wherever you are, you know what's the, I tell you a secret. We know what's the secret to turn to your spirit. Can anybody guess what's the secret, the way to turn to your spirit? How about this? I'll tell you the secret. You guys all know the secret already, so it's not really a secret. Actually, the secret is to call on his name.
Amen.
open your heart and call on his name. Amen. So how about we do this right now? Let's close our eyes and call, oh Lord Jesus.
Oh Lord Jesus.
Again, oh Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. So you know what? Right now, you are in your spirit. You have just turned to your spirit. Doesn't matter where you were 2 seconds ago or 2 minutes ago. Maybe you're in your mind wondering, but that's okay. Right now, by calling on his name, you are in your spirit.
Amen.
And you know what? The second part of that secret is saying amen to the Lord. And we'll get a little bit into that in the later half of the message. As you're experiencing the Lord in your spirit, you're being led by the Lord, saying amen to the Lord. It was critical. You know, actually, the second part of that, Galatians, the second verse I read, you know, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. The second part, it actually caught my eyes as I was preparing, put on, these two little words, put on. It sounds like it's an action word, right? You have to do something. You have to put on. So I know this weekend was a little bit chilling, so many of us have our jackets. I have a jacket, and if I just hold my jacket in my hand, in my arm, and walk around this whole weekend, the jacket doesn't really do anything for me. I'm just holding it. I'm still going to be chilly, but I have to put on the jacket. Right? I have to actively put on the jacket so that I can be protected from the weather. Well, similarly, we have the Spirit. We have God's Christ's Spirit in our spirit. But still, we need to put on. We need to put on this spirit. So similarly, in Romans 8, 6, I think that's in our verse sheet. So how about we turn to page 19 in your booklet? Let's read Romans 8, 6 together. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the spirit is life and peace. So the mind set on. So put on, set on. You know, we need to set our mind on the spirit. So again, the best way to put on and to set on is by calling Lord Jesus. When you call on his name, we turn our heart to him. So, that's when we set our mind, when we turn our heart, when we call on the Lord and turn our heart, we're actually making that choice. Right? We could choose to just dwell in our mind, wondering, vain thoughts, imaginations, or we can choose to turn to our spirit. In every situation you're in, no matter what situation, you always have that choice. You can choose to turn to your spirit. So by calling on the Lord, we're making that choice. So, brothers and sisters, this is not a small thing. This matter of the Spirit with our spirit is not a small thing. We are very blessed to be under this ministry. We're very blessed to be here this weekend to hear. If you didn't hear this before, now you heard it. The Lord's Spirit is with our spirit.
Amen.
And actually, God went through this process just to get inside of us.
Amen.
This is actually his desire. God's desire and his good will and pleasure is to enter into man,
Amen.
To be one with man. So that's why he went through a process. He went through incarnation, human living, even death. You know, today is the Lord's Day. Usually we are at the Lord's table meeting. We're enjoying the Lord for all he has done for us. And we are at the table feasting on him. And actually, this is because he died for us.
Amen.
He went to the cross. He shed his blood. And even yesterday in the message, we heard that, you know, even this, the matter of the blood is for redemption. But when the soldier pierced his side, out came blood and water.
Amen.
Right? Blood is for redemption. Water is the flow of life. Even this flow is the grace of life. And then he resurrected and ascended, and he descended into us as a life-giving spirit. So Brothers and sisters, we have the Spirit within us. This is not a small thing. Again, I say this is because I don't know if you'll hear this anywhere else. You know, it's matter the Spirit with our Spirit. Maybe superficially or on the surface, but not this deep, that we would know this, the Spirit within our Spirit, not only to know that, but also to experience this wonderful Spirit in us. And let's go ahead and go into the outline. Let's read Roman numeral 1 together. The Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are children of God. Brothers, let's read Roman numeral 8. Point 8. God the Spirit entered into our spirit at the time of our regeneration. And then sisters B. Amen. Actually, we have all received the Lord into us, right? And actually, I have this little example here. I know we mentioned this a lot, but I don't remember when was the last time we actually did this example. So the Spirit entered into our spirit. So this is, let's say this tea bag is God himself, right? Processed, life-giving spirit. And this is us, a cup of hot water. Actually, we're kind of hot sometimes, right? Like our temper, you know, our personality. But that's perfect for the Lord to come into us. So if I drop this tea bag into this hot water, and look at that. Immediately, this water is turning into tea, right? And then do a little stirring when you call on the Lord. As you spend time in the Lord in the morning, there's a little stirring. When you come to the conference or go to the young people's meeting, more stirring. I should borrow a little stir. So the more you stir this, the more this water becomes, is it too hot for my, yeah, it's hot, okay. The more you stir that, the more the tea is released into the hot water. And then eventually, this whole cup, do you call this water or do you call this tea? Tea? Yeah, because it's tea. But it's still water, isn't it? Right? So, and then, can I now try any way to separate this? Can I separate the tea out from the water again? No. So actually, this is a good example, a good picture of us being sinized, being deified. When the Lord is coming to our spirit, he is spreading. He wants to spread. He doesn't just want to stay in our spirit. He wants to spread into our entire being, making us just like he is, making us being conformed to the firstborn, the image of God's son, right? Making us conform to the image of Christ. So just like this tea is now teified, we are being deified. This is, I don't know, brothers and sisters, I don't know how to express this. This is like where the rubber meets the road, right, so to speak. If you realize this, that you have such a treasure, this is a treasure in your earthen vessels. Young brothers and sisters, do you realize that you have this treasure, this wonderful spirit, the all-inclusive, life-giving spirit in your spirit? You have such a treasure, and this spirit brings the entire triune God into your being. Amen. And he is the all-inclusive because he is everything that you need. Whether small things, whether big things, whether persons, it doesn't matter what matter you're going through, he is everything you need. And actually yesterday in our small group, brother asked a question, and I really appreciate this question. He asked, well, so how do you know the difference between receiving grace and receiving abundance of grace? That was a really good question. It was a really good question. Well, it's by experiencing Christ. Sometimes, you know, whatever matter you go through, the Lord will meet your every need, right? Maybe taking a test, Seemingly, that might be a small thing to some of us, but maybe to you, that's a big thing. You know, so you come to the Lord to see, you know, to call on the Lord to study with you, to take the test with you, then you experience grace. That's sufficient for that experience. Then maybe you have another experience, like some of our older ones, we have experienced a little bit more in whatever situations we may be in. Maybe hardship, jobs, health, family illness, the grace is always there enough to supply us. And actually, some of these verses that we read, you know, grace upon grace, abundant grace. Actually, brothers and sisters, we can ask, Lord, give me more grace.
Amen.
Lord, I want more grace.
Amen.
Grant me the grace I need, but give me more.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, we can ask the Lord to give us more grace. All the grace that we need, the Lord will supply. And actually, as this cup of water becoming tea, and just as us, we're being deified, God's life and nature is in us. And because the Spirit is in us, and this Spirit is the Spirit of the Son of God, you're making us sons of God. So brothers and sisters, this morning, I hope you realize that you are a son of God.
Amen.
You're not just a believer. In a sense, you are a believer, but you're not just a believer. But when you have the life of God in you, having God's life and nature, you are a son of God. And actually, in this portion of Romans, the outline is actually a particular portion about God's goal. And actually, let me read another verse to you. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, it says, predestinating us unto sonship through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And this verse actually follows verse 4, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy without blemish before him in love. So God has chosen each one of you to be his son. Even before the creation of the world, you have been chosen. And not only have you been chosen to be holy, but he chose you in love. And then he predestinated each one of you unto sonship. And actually, this is God's goal. His entering into us and his mingling of his Spirit with our spirit, that's the procedure. That's the process. He has to get into us. But once he got into us, he is now sinizing us. He is deifying us. He is transforming us.
Amen.
To conform us to be just like his son.
Amen.
And actually, that's God's goal. Actually, our relationship with God, in that sense, he is our father, and we are his sons. And that's what we can call Abba Father.
Amen.
We can enjoy him as our Abba Father.
Amen.
And actually, not only that, you know, when the Lord first came into us, you know, there's a progression. There's a matter of growth. Right? We need to grow in the Lord. You know, just like, well, I think, Zeke, stand up. Ezekiel is my son. Right? He's actually taller than me now. My goodness. So, he looks like me. Actually, maybe he doesn't know it, but he is, actually acts like me a little bit. Right? Because he is my son. My life is in him. Right? He didn't do anything. He was just born. He inherited my life and my nature, right? And then, not only that, you know, as sons, you can sit down. As sons, we are heirs. There's an inheritance, right? And as my son, Zeke, he's also heir to whatever I have, which is not much, sorry. At the best you can get is probably like a Subaru Outback with a cracked windshield. That's you can look forward to that. But praise the Lord, we are sons of God.
Amen.
And actually our God is infinitely rich.
Amen.
And he's actually looking for heirs. He wants to build us up. He wants us to grow from children to sons, eventually to heirs, so that we can have this rich inheritance in us. Amen. So God, the Spirit, entered into our spirit at the time of our regeneration. John 3:6 says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which was born of the Spirit is spirit. So this morning, brothers and sisters, we are born of God. We are born of the Spirit. Actually, here it says that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And actually, there are believers out there that actually believe that we are not genuine, we're not born of God. We are adopted. We're adopted sons of God. But this verse clearly shows us that we are not adopted. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Amen. So we are genuinely children of God.
Amen.
We actually have God's life and nature, just like Ezekiel has my life and nature. We have God's life and nature. We are sons of God.
Amen.
Amen. And then B, from the day of our regeneration, the Spirit with our spirit witnesses to us that we are children of God. And that's based on Romans 8:15-16. Maybe you could read these two verses together. For you have not received a spirit of slavery, bringing you into fear again. But you have received a spirit of sonship, in which we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself witnesses with our spirit that we are children of God. Young people, I hope by reading these two verses and reading the outline here, you are very clear now that you are sons of God. And you are genuine sons of God.
Amen.
Okay, let's go ahead and read Roman numeral 2. The sons of God are those who are led by the Spirit. Okay, let's read that again. The sons of God are those who are led by the Spirit. Okay, let's read Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. And then Galatians 5:25. We live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Amen. And then, brothers, let's read point A. The Spirit within every believer's spirit is life and seeks to give life. Sisters, point B. Amen. Actually, let's read Romans 8:6 together. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Amen. This is a wonderful point. The sons of God are those who are led by the Spirit. Actually, because we have the Spirit in us, we need to learn to be led by the Spirit. And actually, yesterday, I think this verse was mentioned. Brother Ben mentioned this verse in Abraham. When he failed, God came back after 13 years. The first thing that God said to Abraham is, I am Jehovah. I'm the all-sufficient God. All right? Walk before me and be perfect. This very God is all sufficient, right? We need to walk before him. And as we learn to walk before him, we are being made perfect. And actually, this point A is very precious. It was really, really touched me as I was preparing for this message. It says that the Spirit within every believer's spirit is life and seeks to give life. So actually, Christ, as a life-giving spirit, just doesn't sit there. The life-giving spirit is wanting to give you life.
Amen.
You know, I kind of picture maybe at a restaurant, it's like a server, right? The Lord is walking around. Life. Life. Grace. Light. What does he need? Oh, here. Peace. Okay, here. Oh, comfort. Oh, comfort here. The Spirit wants to give you life.
Amen.
The Spirit wants to give you supply.
Amen.
How, if you're at a restaurant, oh, actually, Brazilian, have you ever been to a Brazilian steakhouse? When they bring the meat to you, right? The server comes around, bring the meat to you. You have this little tag on the table, red or green. If you put a green, the server sees the green and come to you. Imagine the server comes to you and just like, it's all right. You pay all that money, you just sit there, and you just eat the appetizer, and you're good. No, we need to eat the meat, right? If you pay all that money, you got to eat the meat. The more meat you eat, the better. Actually, when I do go to a Brazilian steakhouse, and that's not too many, so because it's kind of expensive, when I go, I will not eat for the whole day. I will just save my stomach for that one meal so I can eat as much meat as I can. Similarly, that should be our aspiration. That should be our attitude, that we want to eat Christ.
Amen.
We want to enjoy this life-giving Spirit.
Amen.
The Spirit seeks to give life.
Amen.
We should be those who seek to receive.
Amen.
We need to receive this wonderful life into us,
Amen.
This wonderful Spirit. And then, because every believer possesses the divine life, they possess the consciousness and have the sense of this life. And that's why we read Romans 8:6, for the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. Because you have the Spirit in you, the Lord is leading you, the Lord is guiding you. You have the sense of life within you. And actually, how do you know you have the sense of life? How do you know that the Lord is leading you? It is by the sense of life and peace. And I'll share a little testimony. This was when I was single. I was living in New York City, and I left. I need to get away from one job, and so I was applying to different jobs. And then I went on to several interviews, and then I got two offers. One offer was this prestigious law firm in Midtown Manhattan. Ooh, I'm telling you, that place was, I mean, I still remember it. Like, it was Midtown, it was in this building. It's a law firm, so you know they make a lot of money. So the office was plush, technology. I was in IT back then, so technology was like the best because they have the money to spend. And I was getting my little own office. Everything looked great. Then I went to another interview. It was at this university, a prestigious university. Oh, it's Columbia University. Actually, at their business school, which is one of the top business schools in the world. I walk in there. I had my interview. The office was kind of old. The desk was kind of like old-fashioned desk. You know, quite a contrast between the two. And of course, in my natural self, I was drawn to like, ooh, Midtown Manhattan, you know. A lot of things going on, very lively, bubbly, and the office is nice. But I was praying. At least I was wise enough to pray. I was praying. The more I prayed, the more I had peace to go to Columbia. I was like, Lord, but come on, Lord, Midtown, law firm. But the Lord I just didn't have the peace. I didn't have the peace to go. So I went to work at Columbia University. And there, not only I had peace, but the Lord was actually able to do something in me. That's when I really had a full turn to the Lord. Actually, a little bit of history, that's where I met Brother Aaron. We were actually together, and then, where's your uncle, Mark? Yeah, that's the three of us, we were there. See, that Lord, if I had chosen to go to a law firm, I would not have met these two brothers. And then actually we will have lunch every week together. And Brother Ricky Acosta would meet with us. We'll have lunch every week. We'll have fellowship. And then eventually, we had our first gospel meeting at Columbia University. And there, two brothers got saved. And it was really a wonderful experience. But had I chose the Midtown Manhattan law firm, I don't think I would have that experience. I wouldn't have that experience. And eventually I found out the law firms are stressful. You know, they're high demand. They look nice, they pay you well, but they demand a lot. And through a couple of friends, I found out if you work at a law firm, even if you're just IT or something like that, you're on call 24/7. If the lawyers are working until midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, you bet you're gonna be there if they need you at 1 o'clock in the morning. So the Lord was so sovereign in leading me to the second job, even though it's not my personal preference, but I learned, wow, it is wonderful to follow, to be led by the Lord. So as sons of God, our Father is leading us. And you know where he's leading us? He's leading us to become heirs, to be heirs of glory. Brothers and sisters, we're being led to glory.
Amen.
And how are we being led to glory? It's by these little experiences, following the Lord, following this, being led by the Spirit, learning to turn to your Spirit in every situation. Whether, again, as I mentioned before, whether it's studying for a test, whether for a job interview, whether where do you go to school, right? Actually, this is more applicable to your age. If some of you are at that point where you need to decide where to go to school, follow the Spirit. Bring that to the Lord, especially high school seniors. If you're still deciding, bring that to the Lord.
Amen.
Follow the Lord. Don't look at the outward things. The outward things are just a facade. Follow the Lord.
Amen.
Don't you know the Lord knows what's the best for you? If he has chosen you before the foundation of the world, and if he has chosen you in love, don't you think he'll lead you to the best place where you can grow, where you can know the Lord more?
Yes.
Don't look at the outward things. Oh, the name of this university, the program. Just follow the Lord.
Amen.
Bring it to him, especially the high school seniors. So anyway, I think we'll speak a little bit more about the matter of following the Lord, being led by the Lord. And then Brother Frank will speak more on that. So how about while we're switching places, let's just sing a song, a chorus. I know it's not in our hymn book, but I think we all know it. Oh, he's a wonderful Spirit in us. Do you know that? Oh, he's the wonderful Spirit in us.
He's the wonderful Spirit in us. God is in the Son, the Son's the Spirit now. He's the wonderful Spirit in us.
Amen. Hallelujah. He's a wonderful Spirit in us.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. So, yeah. So good to be here with you. Really enjoy this sharing. This kind of add on to what Brother Moses started out with, the kernel of the Bible. It's such a wonderful thing that we can be in these four chapters. It's actually the center of the universe, you know. And if Zechariah 12:1, it talks about how Jehovah stretched forth the heavens and lays the foundation of the earth and forms the spirit within man, right? So he made this entire universe for our spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah, we are here learning about our spirit.
Amen.
Oh, if we miss this matter, brothers and sisters, we miss the center of the universe. You know, you could go off and be successful in the world like Elon Musk, right? Approaching a trillionaire, right? But you don't have the center of the universe. What is it worth? It has no eternal value. It's really empty. It's meaningless. But praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah for Christ within our spirit.
Amen.
Amen. This is the center of the universe. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So continuing with what Brother Moses was at here, We need to progress, right? We need to progress from being children of God to being sons of God. And that means being led by, learning to be led by the Spirit. So we need to grow in life. As we follow the Lord's leading, we grow in life, right? Brother Moses, because you followed the Lord's leading to Columbia, took that job, you probably grew a lot more in the Lord than if you took the other job, right? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, having lunch with the brothers, Brother Ricky, probably got a lot of infusion, a lot of rich dispensing, right? Praise the Lord. So this is so true, brothers and sisters. We need to learn to follow the Lord's leading. Amen. And there's so many opportunities he's given us. And it's not just, yes, these big decisions, like what job to take, you know, what school to go to, who to marry, but also even the matter of shopping. Yeah, even shopping, like what to buy. Should I buy this or should I buy that? You can experience the Lord's leading, right? Matter of, what else is mentioned in there? Maybe even at school, right? You're with your friends and you're in a conversation, and the conversation turns to a certain subject, and you feel the Lord's leading within, you need to get out of this conversation, right? You have a choice. Are you going to follow the Lord's leading, or are you going to, you know, stay with what your friends are talking about, right? This is real world. This is real world. Even, you know, matter of dress, what you wear. There's the Lord's leading. Should I wear this or should I wear that? Actually, all these things it's really brought out in the reading. So I hope all of you get a chance to get in the reading. It's really rich. It's from Life Study of Romans, Message 18. So, hallelujah. Life is full of opportunities. Amen. Amen. May we really learn. May we learn to follow in the Spirit so we will grow in life. Grow in life and eventually become heirs of glory. Amen. You know, I work in banking, and so I have a lot of customers. I've been working in banking almost 20 years now. And before I used to, I'm now on the commercial side, but I used to work on the consumer side, right? Personal banking. And so you meet a lot of different customers, and some very wealthy customers I've met. And I've seen where the wealth, they gave it to their children, what? Too early. Too early. And it destroyed their lives. It destroyed their lives because they were so, the kids were so rich, they didn't really need, they were unmotivated to complete their education, to get a job, became lazy. It really just destroyed their lives. And so our Heavenly Father, He knows this, right? He has multifarious wisdom. So He's not going to give us something we're not ready for, right? So for us to be able to receive the inheritance that He has for us, He needs us to grow. He needs us to mature. So, Lord Jesus, oh, may we all have a fresh, real a desire and prayer to the Lord that we will grow in life. Amen. Amen. You know, we have seniors. I'm burning for the seniors in our midst. So I'm going to give them a little quiz. All right? So you all know this three circles, right? Okay. I'm going to ask Edda Norte and Josh Wren. All right. This represents the three parts of man, right? What part is this? Spirit, yes, our human spirit, right? Amen. Okay, and then this middle circle represents soul. That's right, the soul, our soul. And that's composed of three things, right? Which are? The mind, right? Emotion. And will. Okay. And then, what's the last part?
Body.
The body, right? Our body, physical body. So, you know, this is what we're talking about is, you know, You know, the Lord, you know, Brother Moses mentioned, he went through a process to become the life-giving spirit so that when we received him, praise the Lord, we were born again in spirit, right? So he is now in our spirit. But as you know, he doesn't want to stay locked in our spirit. He needs to spread, right? He needs to spread to our soul and to our mind, emotion, and will. That's the growth in life. The more he spreads, the more he grows, right? And then eventually he's going to spread into our mortal bodies. And that's when it'll be manifested that we are sons of God. No one will have to ask you. If you're a believer, it will be physically evident, right? We're going to be like the Lord, you know, have a transfigured body. But so what's the verse, senior brothers, that tells us this, that we have a mind or a spirit, soul, and body? First Thessalonians, right? Well, there's many verses, but First Thessalonians is a very good one. 5:23, right? What does that say? God of peace, right? Sanctify you wholly. May your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord. Right, so it's very clear. We have a spirit, soul, and body. And that's very important because many Christians don't see this. They think the soul and the spirit are just one. It makes it very difficult for the Lord then to grow and to spread. So, I'm gonna watch my time. Amen. All right. So as he grows in life, this is how we through our following his leading, he's spreading. So let's all read C together, Roman numeral 2C. When we follow the Lord's leading, he will grow in life and are marked out as sons of God. Amen. Amen. And then one, brothers, to follow the Lord's leading is primarily the inner sense of life, the outward circumstances, right? So it's in the reading is very good. It talks about a lot of people think the follow the Lord's leading is a matter of circumstances. Oh, you know, if I go and the store's not open, that's the Lord's leading. Or, you know, I go and, you know, the door's not open. That's just the Lord's leading, outward things. But actually the Lord's leading is within us. It's within our spirit. So we need to learn to follow this inner leading. Okay, sisters, two. Amen. Very good. That's right. And then how about all together, Roman numeral 3. To be led by the Spirit, we must walk according to the Spirit, setting our mind on the Spirit. Amen. So let's read those two verses, Romans 8:4-6. All right, it's on page 19. So Romans 4, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Amen. And then 6, for the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Amen. That's right. So, and then A. I'll read that. We have the choice of setting our mind on the flesh or of setting our mind on the Spirit. And then B, as we set our mind on the Spirit, we become conscious of the sense of God's life within our spirits. Amen. So here, it talks in A about choice. You know, I think that's been something the Lord's been speaking to me this whole conference is we have a choice. The Lord wants us to choose life, right? But the enemy, he's doing all that he can to get us to choose the flesh, right? To choose the flesh, which is where his satanic nature dwells in us. So, you know, there's all these influences, but I appreciate that, you know, we're here, and I'm so glad to see the young people memorizing the verses. It's so good to memorize the word. I'll give you a quick story that emphasizes the importance of this. And that actually was before I, soon after I moved here from Chicago. I was living in the brother's house in Dunloring. And I got into a relationship with a classmate of mine from school in Chicago. Turns out she was living here in Virginia, and I preached the gospel to her. She got saved, and so things were progressing. I thought, man, Lord, this is the one. I even called my mother. She was in Korea at the time. I said, Mom, I think I found the one. And then she eventually broke up with me. Yeah. And I my heart got broken. It got really broken. And so I remember I was working at the time, and I couldn't even think straight. My emotions were so damaged. You know, I was at work, but I couldn't think about work. I just kept thinking about her and why she broke up with me. And but praise the Lord for the church life. I was in the brother's house, and Timothy's uncle, Anya's uncle, Emmanuel Yao, was one of my housemates, right? Aaron's brother. And praise the Lord, he shared with me, he shepherded me, and he said, one thing he says, you know, it's okay. He puts his arm around my shoulder, and he's like, just keep working hard. in other words, he's saying, don't be unoccupied, right? If you just sit and don't do anything, then you're just gonna keep thinking about it and be distracted. And then he said this. He said, you need to read the Word of God. And so I'll write this on. Okay, what is this? www. What does that stand for? Okay, now I want you to drop that. And whenever you see that, you're going to think washing of the water in the Word. Okay? Washing of the water in the Word. So Ephesians 5:26 is the verse. Okay? He gave me this word. He gave me this verse. He says, that he, that's the Lord, might sanctify her, cleansing her by the washing of the water in the Word. Amen. There's water in the Word. And he told me this. He said, even Frankie, you're reading it and you can't concentrate. You don't think you're getting anything. Just keep reading. Just keep reading. And he said, gave me the example of the rice, washing rice. If you've ever washed rice, you just keep washing it, right? You keep pouring out the water and you keep adding more water. And it doesn't seem like anything's happening. Like indistinguishable, unconscious. But eventually it gets washed. Right? So we need to stay in the Word, right? We need the washing of the water in the Word. This one brother I knew in Cerritos, California, when I was there, he said that when you touch a church life, a brother named Doug Olson, I think is the last name. But he said when he touched a church life, he was already married, and his wife said, why are you going to so many meetings? Who's this Witness Lee? I think you're brainwashed, right? And he said, my brain needs washing. and this is very true, brothers and sisters. Our brain needs washing. Our mind needs to be renewed, right? It's like you spend time in the Word, it's like this. Your brain's getting washed, right? Your brain's getting washed. So keep in the Word, right? Read you this verse. It's a very good verse. It's Romans 12:2. It says, and do not be fashioned according to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and well-pleasing and perfect. Amen. So we need the renewing of the mind. That's how we're transformed. So a big part of this process, right, of his spreading is through our mind. Our mind needs to be renewed. And Amen. And there's another verse I'd just like to share, and this one I'll write on the board here. 2 Corinthians 10. Three through six. Amen. So how about we turn to that one real quick, 2 Corinthians 10. And this verse actually came to me last week. I was having a disagreement with my wife, and I wanted to win the argument. But the Lord gave me this verse. It says, "For though we walk in flesh, we do not war according to flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but powerful before God, for the overthrowing of strongholds. As we overthrow reasonings and every high thing rising up against the knowledge of God, and take captive every thought unto the obedience of Christ. And we are ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Amen. So I got into the Life Study Message 50, 2 Corinthians, and it's actually in the footnote too. It brings out that our obedience gives the base for the Lord to work out, to deal with other people's disobedience. So the Lord spoke to me, "Frank, don't argue, just obey Christ." And the Lord led me just to die. And just to drop my position, and praise the Lord. There was no big fight or anything like that. So, but my point is this, right? That it talks about the overthrowing reasonings and every high thing, rising up against the knowledge of God. So, the knowledge of God is the supreme thing, brothers and sisters, right? And there's things that rise up against it. You know, all these thoughts. But in Greek, you know, this was all written in Greek, New Testament. There's actually two words for knowledge. One is oida, right? Which is objective knowledge, right? Knowing about something, right? But then there's also another Greek word, which is the one that this is speaking to, and it's gnosko. This is an experiential knowledge, right? A knowing in a experiential, subjective way. And so we brothers and sisters, need to pursue the experiential knowledge of Christ. Amen? So that's what we're talking about this weekend, right? The experience of Christ in Romans. We're not talking about just knowing about him, but knowing him as a person, right? So that's why, you know, through our day-by-day of pursuing him, learning to live by the Spirit, follow his leading, we're getting to know him, right? And this is the supreme thing. And anything other than that, anything higher than that should be brought down. And so, last thing I'm going to touch on here is that there's a lot of thoughts that are flying in, you know, through social media, at school, that, you know, the enemy is attacking you. He's attacking your mind, right? This is the entrance into your entire being. And so one thing, you know, that I see a lot of that's at my work too is LGBTQIAT+, right? And, you know, about this is the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transsexual thing. And, you know, it's being kind of shoved down your throat, right? That this is an alternative lifestyle, right? But the Bible tells us no, right? It is sinful. And there's many verses. We don't have time. But one verse I want to have us look at is 1 Corinthians 6. Nine through 11. All right, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. I'll just read this. "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be led astray. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor the rapacious will inherit the kingdom of God. But that's not all. Verse 11. And these things were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. So what they say, you know, the reason why, you know, they say it's an alternative lifestyle that you can't, you know, look, you know, say it's wrong, is because they have this thought that it's something you're born with. You're born that way, right? You're born that way. But this verse really shows that, you know, the church in Corinth, there were some of these, right? But they were washed, right? They were sanctified. They were justified. They came out of it. So that shows that it's not true. It's not true that you're born that way. Okay, that's a thought from the enemy that's planted. So we need to guard ourselves, right, from these erroneous thoughts from the enemy. And it's not to say that we don't respect them. They're human beings. We treat them like human beings, right? And, you know, you have to be careful at school. We've had an instance where a young person was on the bus. I was just talking to a friend saying, you know, I believe being a homosexual is sin. And then someone overheard that and then told the school, and then that kid got in trouble for saying that. So because of this corrupt society that we live in, we have to be careful, right? You know, but we need to be clear. We need to be clear, right? And so the enemy can't deceive us, cannot deceive us, will not deceive us. So, amen. So with that, let's read C together. As we obey the sense of life within our spirit, we grow in life as the sons of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So we need to keep obeying the sense of life within our spirit that we can grow unto maturity. Unto maturity. Amen. Hallelujah. So I will end here. We'll go into the groups. If you have time, I do recommend reading the portion. It's very, very rich. It's a little long. It's longer than what you've had, but if you have time, three questions that you can help guide your fellowship. Let's get to you real quick. One, what is the natural concept of the leading of the Spirit versus the reality of the leading of the Spirit? Okay. Two, why is the experience of leading of the Spirit more important in our Christian walk? Why is the leading of the Spirit important in our Christian walk? And then three, share with your group the leading of the Spirit in your experience, in your daily life. How can you experience the leading of the Spirit? Okay? Amen. So we'll go to our group times, and then we will, have a break at 10:45, and then come back for overflow at 11 o'clock, okay? Amen.